Praise the Lord, everyone. How about we spend a few minutes in prayer before we look into the precious word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Loving Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, even though we are sitting in a different hall, Lord Jesus. And Lord, just once again reminds us the place is not relevant. What really matters is, Lord Jesus, that you are here with us. And also, the biggest thing that matters is you have chosen undeserving people like us to be in your presence, Lord Jesus. You have given us such great opportunity to recognize through the reading of the word, the boldness that we have, and all, Lord Jesus, has pointed us to that cross. As we even once again have taken part in these emblems, Lord Jesus, you have reminded us how precious it is to have that access because of what you did for each one of us at the cross. Lord, as we look into thy precious word, Lord, we remind ourselves we have a real enemy. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will bind the powers of darkness. And Lord Jesus, you have full freedom. We look into your precious word this morning. Lord Jesus, that you will continue to guide us and remind us that your coming is near. And as we look into thy precious word, that we will be on our guard in all things. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Just reminded myself this morning, you know, no matter where we are, God is with us. We've been looking at, for the past, I think, few weeks in as such, the things about the coming of our Lord. And I think the biggest thing that happened in the history of humankind is when he came first. Now, this was not obviously we know that it was not an event that was not mentioned in the Old Testament. The entire Old Testament, 39 books that people had at that time were pointing towards his coming. That was 2,000 years ago, by the way. He came to this world and he's changed the course of history. Not only to this world, but to each and every one of us. And I think a lot of people seated here will attest to that fact, that how beautiful it is to be, you know, having that great revelation to each one of us that our Lord Jesus Christ has gone to the cross because of my sin. And that is why even Brother Johnson this morning brought that verse. Was it John 1:29, Johnson, you brought up and you were saying? It was very beautiful. Just I'm not wanting to spend more time on what we've already heard, but it is very beautiful to just imagine that verse that says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, the reason I'm repeating that is that two words, sin of the world. And that is very relevant to us this morning. Because this world that we live in is full of sin and it loves its sin. We were like that once. Sin is everywhere and it loves it. When Jesus came into this world, when he was here, when he walked the course of Middle East in Jerusalem, in Israel, he did so many miracles. He cleansed people who had diseases. You know, he did miracle after miracle after miracle. Still, the people loved sin. And here we are, even 2,000 years ago. We should be very fortunate that we have been selected, by the way. Very, very fortunate. And that, if you want one thing before I finish, you want to write that down, is this message is about being extremely gracious to our Lord Jesus Christ that he has selected us to be, chosen us to be escaping that power of sin. Because this world loves sin. And it will continue to love sin, not only at this time, but it will continue to love sin when he comes back again as well, because there is an enemy who has blinded and will continue to blind the eyes of men and women. And again, because our eyes have been opened, because we read from Ezekiel chapter 36, I think again, it said, "We have received a new heart." We have much more to thank the Lord about this new heart that we have received, because if we had the old heart, forget about being here, we would be loving sin. But a lot of us here would now say that we do not love sin. Why? Because he has done a great transaction in our hearts. And while we are at that, we We've been looking at many things that point us to one thing. We were always looking at that in the last, I think in August we looked at that, in September we looked at that. It was telling, be prepared. I think if you remember that, it was the words were very, be prepared. The coming of the Lord is near. And, you know, we looked at many signs of His coming. We looked, in fact, 33 signs in Gospel of Matthew. We looked at that, 24. Many chapters we looked at many, many signs of His coming. You know, some things that motivates us is to look at that coming back. But there is also much more that is going to happen in this world while He comes back. So we will look at some of that, God willing, in the limited time that we have. When Jesus Christ comes back in this earth, there is going to be significant changes. We looked at that. We finished, I remember, that we finished at that in Revelation chapter 19. How the cosmic events of this world is going to be so dramatic that we cannot even imagine some of that. You know, we saw some of those events in leading up in there. And long time ago when Brother George was ministering to us from Revelation, was pointing us to all of that judgments that's going to come into this world. And it's already continuing to happen, right? So there is a very important message to each one of us. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me to a couple of parables first, and then we will look at that. So the best thing to do is turn your Bibles with me and just be amazed at this conversation that is happening between our enemy and our Lord's enemy and the enemy of the church. This is a conversation that is happening. Bob took this parable and expounded for each one of us of this parable. But this is a very interesting conversation, and that is again relevant to us, between the demons that were cast into the swine. Remember that? I think, brother, in the month of June, you spoke to us about that parable. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. Now, there are a couple of things that is very important for us this morning, and that is, I will tell you to underline that word and keep that in the back of your mind, and you will come back and see, why am I saying all of these things? When Jesus had come into this world and He was doing miracle after miracle, and then He was passing, in verse 28 says, when He had come to the other side, the country of Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. A very powerful demon. There were two men that was outlined here. And suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you? When the demons saw our Lord Jesus Christ, they cried out, what have we to do with you? Now, watch what the demons are saying. Jesus, you Son of God, have you come here to torment us before the time? Now, the demons recognize this very important fact that this morning is also very relevant to us. Demons are going to get tormented. But here the demons are saying, this is before the time. Why have you come in? So before the time, keep that in the back of the mind. The demons recognize that their time had not come. Why is this Jesus here present? Are you going to torment us before the time? So the time is important, because the demons knew that time, right? Now, a good way off from there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged Him, saying, if you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine. And He said to them, go. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of the swine, and suddenly the whole herd of the swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away in the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw Him, they begged Him to depart from their region. Amazing response. Obviously, a lot of cattle was lost in that city, but their objective was not to look at what happened to this man. These men wanted Jesus, begging him to get out. Men loved sin then and will continue to love sin now and will continue to love sin when he comes back again and will continue to love sin when he establishes his reign in this earth. And that is going to be a sad thing to watch, people whom we know who will continue to love sin, will continue to love sin. That is what the deception of that serpent of old is. Continuously forgetting what is important and reminding things by deception. In Gospel of Luke, actually, there is the same incident mentioned. But what is important is what happens to, and the words that is being used. Turn with me to Gospel of Luke. Same thing is being mentioned in chapter 8, verse 26 says, we know that verses till 30 is the same, but then verse 30 says something very important here. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" Who is this Jesus is asking? Say that again. The demon-possessed man is being asked, "What is your name?" As if Jesus didn't know. But he wants all of us to remind ourselves that this is a real thing that this world is infested with. We were infested with that until we got a new heart. Until our Lord Jesus Christ forgave our sins, we were in that exact same boat. Yeah? But what is the answer? And he said, "Legion." Because many demons had entered him. Lots of demons had entered this man who was just being cured. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Here, the extra detail is that these demons were going to be sent into the abyss, into this place that there is much, much, much to know about. This place is not the eternal destination of these demons. We will see what is going to happen shortly while we read some of the other verses in Revelation. When our Lord Jesus Christ comes, there is a significant event that is going to happen. You know, we know that he is going to fight with these enemies. And one of the enemy here that he is fighting is also our enemy, and is the enemy of the world, because they are going to have a place in this Armageddon battle. We looked at that Armageddon battle last time to some extent. And what happens when Christ Jesus was on this earth the first time? There was much rejection for him. There was much rejection in the way their expectations of the world did not match up to what Christ said. The men who loved their sin immediately rejected. Jesus called them brood of vipers many times because they loved sin. I'm rehashing again that fact. They loved sin. When Jesus Christ comes back into this world in Revelation 19, when the time is going to come to an end, it says, now we read these verses up until that last verse in verse 16 said, you know, what was written on his robe and on his thigh. We read this, I remember that. But I'm going to read further down what is going to happen after that. And why does it matter? We will see, because this is phenomenal. This matters because this is what the finale is going to be. This is how the world is going to end. We did remember how the elements of this whole earth will melt away once. But even keeping that aside, there is some more activities that will happen which are of great importance to us. Are great things that we need to learn from this. Not to be afraid, but to be amazed. Oh my God, why have we been given the escape out of this deception? We were also once deceived, but now our eyes have opened. It's magnificent. But there is a devil that is real who continues to attack us every day. Every day. Now watch this story unfold here. And I'm going to read this verse with verse 11 says, "And I saw the heavens opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written on him, written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. This is the grandeur re-entry of our Lord with the saints into this earth. It says, now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations of this world, the systems of this world, the Babylons of this world, the world that loves sin is going to be struck when this horse rider, white horse rider, when he walked this earth, he used a donkey. But when he's coming back in this fashion, in much majesty and power to strike the nations and the men and the women who love sin. It will reach a climax. This world that we live in is not getting any better. It will not get better in 2023. It will not get better in 2025 or any other years until the Lord returns. This is going to get continuously worse, worse, and worse, and worse. That is why? Because men and women will love sin and will continue to reject Christ. They will reject Christ. Not only till that time, but we will see they will continue to reject Christ even when Christ is on this earth after his second coming. Why? Same thing. There will be some influences that will drive them towards that. So why does it even matter to us? I'm telling you the same thing. You should be very amazed that he has chosen you to reign with him in his kingdom in this earth. We should be amazed. Why? We should be thinking, what qualified us to be selected to be reigning with him? That last verse that said, and he has on his robe, on his thigh, a name that is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the main subject of today. What happens? Then I saw an angel standing in the sun. I'm going to take this very literally. An angel standing in the sun. And he cried out with a loud voice. It's very hard to even look at the sun with your open eyes. But this angel, whoever that is got a task at hand. And that task at hand for that angel is important for us. He's crying out with a loud voice, saying to all of the birds that fly in the midst of heaven. We see a lot of birds. A few weeks ago, when a few of my friends were visiting Sydney, they were amazed at the amount of birds that were encircling the harbor bridge. Thousands of birds in the evening were encircling. And I was also with so many birds. But here, there is a specific call out given by this angel on the sun, who is standing in the sun, and told, come and gather together for the supper of the great Lord, that you may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men who rejected Christ and will continue to reject Christ, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people. There is going to be a massive event which would be feasting for the birds to eat the flesh. Both slave, both small and great, no matter who you are, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, this is the fashion he's coming in. And I saw the beast, the king of the earth, and their names gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured. Very important point. The beast was captured, and with him the false prophet. Two separate ways has been described. Two. The false prophet, the beast was captured, who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. These two people at that point, be it the system, be it what it is, be it the political leader, be it the leaders that lead up to this, this verse tells us that they were cast alive into the lake of fire. Not the abyss. This is it for these two people. Lake of fire, which is burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all of the birds were filled with their flesh. You don't want to be living in this period watching this. This is not the world that we are used to hear in Plumpton or Baulkham Hills or wherever else. This is a significant event that is 100% going to happen. And that's what the word tells us. What's important here is what happens after that in verse 20, in chapter 20. The entire chapter 20 is dedicated to what happens after that. We have a 21 and a 22 as well, but 20 sits in the middle here, literally for us to look at and be amazed at another angel that is being mentioned here. And what is the purpose of that angel? To come up with a key and a chain. We all have locked our homes this morning and come, hopefully. Did we? We all lock our homes. There is a need to lock somebody up after this. And what is, just read through this. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven. This is not the angel. Maybe it is the same angel who was standing in the sun. But what is important is having the key to the bottomless pit. Who wants to go there? Oh, there are some people who are going to go into the bottomless pit. There is a key to that. A key to the bottomless pit. And a great chain in his hand. Can you imagine why? What is the purpose of this chain? It tells us. He laid hold of the dragon. That serpent of old. Serpent of old. The serpent what that was roaming around freely, who was God's creation in the Garden of Eden, has been laid hold of. Who is the devil and Satan? Verse 9, in chapter 19, we saw the beast and the false prophet cast out into the lake of fire. Here we see the serpent of old has got something that is going to happen. What is that? It says that bound him for 1,000 years. Very important. Is Satan bound now? There's a few people saying no. He's not bound. Because we know in what is the verse in 2 Peter? Was it 1 Peter? 1 Peter 5:9. It says, I've got it here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Way more powerful than the lions that we have seen. The lions that we have seen here who escaped out of Taronga Zoo. Was it a lion or somebody last week? Lion? Yeah. There was a lion, yeah? Five lions escaped out of Taronga Zoo. A lot of people had to be called in. But this lion that we are talking of is that serpent of old. He is walking around this earth, not bound. He's waiting. He is our adversary. That's why the next verse immediately saying, resist him. Be steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. This is going to continue to increase and increase and increase and increase. You know, there is, who is the God of this age? Devil. What does the devil do? Blinds people. Blinds people. All of us can see here right now. We can see each other physically, but spiritually we were blind. Read that verse with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse But even if, verse 3 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The primary purpose of this deceiving dragon or the serpent of old is to make sure there are many people whose eyes will be spiritually blinded to the gospel of the glory of Christ. Remind yourself, when those demon-possessed men, what did they say? Why have you come before the time? What do you have to do with me? Because they know their time will be up. They know that Revelation 20, when that angel comes with the chain and the key to the bottomless pit, that devil knows the time will be up and there is no more time to deceive. When the tribulation happens, there are more demons. In fact, in Revelation 12, it says that more demons are sent out of this to deceive, continuing to deceive. But the devil will know its time is up. God of this age is blinding the minds of many in and around us. But you know what? Praise God. There is coming a time. For 1,000 years, in that verse that we just read in Revelation 20, it said he is going to be cast into the bottomless pit and shut up and set a seal on him. He's not only going to be bound, he's going to be cast. In fact, that itself is amazing. You know, the angel is not going down there and placing him. He's being thrown into that bottomless pit. Nobody wants to go into that bottomless pit. Angel is also not going there. Cast into that, and what it says is the threefold put a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years are finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. But imagine that 1,000 years, God of this age is absent. The dragon and the false prophet and the beast already taken care of. What is going to happen? Significantly different world, you can imagine. 1,000 years. 1,000 years in this world. And what happens after that? Very important for each one of us. And I saw thrones and they sat on them and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witnesses to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Lived and reigned for 1,000 years with this Christ, with no serpent who deceives. Magnificent. What are they doing? They were judging. Judgment was committed to them. They are judging. You know, in fact, there are many verses that points us. What are their purposes? They, you know, there are people who will be judging angels. It's a very important time. Those who did not worship the beast or took his image, had not received his mark, are going to be with him, reigning with him. Those who have come back with him, those who have come back in the armies, who are clothed in the linen, the white linen, are going to be reigning with him. But the rest of the dead did not live until 1,000 years were finished. But this is the first resurrection. This is the resurrection that Paul was hoping he achieved. This is what Paul was looking forward to. What did he say in 1 Corinthians 9:27? Turn with me.
9:26 onwards. Therefore, I run this not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest when I have preached this to others, I myself would become disqualified. In many other verses, it says similar things. Philippians chapter 3, also verses 10 onwards, it says that in the name of Jesus,
I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed
to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. What is more important is what happens here. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We know many verses in the Bible where we are called a royal nation, a priesthood. Reigning with Christ is an absolute fact that will happen to his children who doesn't take a mark of the beast, to the children who were not deceived by the cunningness of this enemy. There is going to be much, a very different lifestyle in this earth. Turn with me to Isaiah. You know, even in the Old Testament, they were much told about this time. This time has not yet come, because in chapter 11 of Isaiah, it says, and verse 10, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. But you know, the few verses before this just gives us a bit of a rendering of what is going to happen when Satan is going to be removed. What it say? The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Verse 6. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of God, as the waters cover the sea. This is a very peculiar time. Not like the times that we live in, not like the times that we are afraid of many times. You know, is my car locked? Is my garage locked? Is my house locked? You know, is the lions going to eat me today when we go walk in the zoo? Or many other fears come. But look at this time in Isaiah 11, when the reign of Jesse's offspring happens, when that rod from the stem of Jesse continues to reign. It's reigning in our hearts from the time we have believed in it. He's not reigning. Devil is not reigning in our hearts. But literally in this world, there is coming a time for 1,000 years that he is going to establish his reign. And that is what Ezekiel said in 36 for the nation of Israel. And that is the whole book of Revelation pointing to. There is going to be a time that is going to come. Nation of Israel is in much still recognition, the much needed recognition of who the Savior is. And that is also coming for them as well. And that is what brings me to another parable that our Lord Jesus Christ gave in Matthew. So turn with me. We'll come back and I'll read a few more verses before we look at some other aspects. In the interest of time, quickly let's go into Matthew again and look at this example given here of all of the parables. And there is this one little parable again is very important, which is the parable of the tares, which Jesus made sure he explained that while he was giving. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 13,
and verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them up in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Magnificent parable, isn't it? Beautiful in itself to imagine. An enemy has done this. It's coming back to that old enemy of mankind. Jesus is pointing us that this enemy will continue to do the exact same thing that it did. And there are parables after parables after parables. Tares and wheat are growing up together. They're not going to be uprooted. They will be living alongside with us and in fact influencing us as well. Jesus explained this parable in verse 36 onwards. Then Jesus sent the multitude away. A couple of parables he gave about the mustard seed and the leaven. And then he said, after sending the multitude away and went to the house, and the disciples came up to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. Explain it to us. Make it even more simpler than it is. Okay? And what do they ask? He answered them and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world where we all live in. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. I'm going to stop there. All of us were once sons of the wicked one. Every man and woman who is born into this world belongs to him because of what happened at the Garden of Eden. But there is a spiritual conversion that happens when we are transferred out of that, when our eyes are opened, when we receive a new heart, our sins are forgiven, and then we become sons of the kingdom of God, sons and daughters of the kingdom of God. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. And that's the devil who has just been bound up at the coming back of our Lord Jesus Christ. For how many years, Raj? 1,000 years. 1,000 years. The harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. What more do we want to be motivated? What more do we want to look at the end of the age? Already being told to us. Just like the entire 39 books were telling the people who existed before Christ that Christ is coming, the rest of the New Testament books are telling us about what is going to happen. What is going to happen? Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, which are the men and women of this world who love sin, and put them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I wonder, that verse that said, cast them alive into that. They don't die in that place. They're going to be alive in that place where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That is where we've been pulled out of. We've been pulled out of that. Instead of being alive forever, suffering in that terrible place, we've been pulled out. But this is the verse that explains it all for us. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, God of this age has not only blinded the eyes of many men and women, but also made them deaf to hear these words. Revelation starts with the verses, blessed is he. Turn with me. We know this verse. Won't take long. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which the God, first verse it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things must shortly take place. Okay? And he sent and signified it by the angel to the servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. This is important. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in this book. Same things. Who reads? Because that's one faculty. Ignorance is turned away when we read. The second faculty is hearing. You know, you have also heard, even if you couldn't read this morning, if you are here by accident, you've heard it. But the call is to keep it as well. And that is how it completes even at the end. Revelation chapter 22. Says, and behold, I am coming quickly in verse 12, and a reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Verse 14 says, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter to the gates into the city. We haven't even looked at what happens after that. There are two full chapters given for us to be joyful. 21 and 22. Even we haven't looked at what is going on, even within 20. Because you know, remember, for a brief period of time, and that 1,000 years have fallen, people are living in much freedom. Lord Jesus Christ is here. Cosmic events are all changed, the course of this world. Satan is bound in a place that we do not want to go. No one wants to go, but Satan knows that he's got very limited time. That's why he was asking, why did you come to torment me before the time? Why do you want to cast me into the abyss? A bottomless pit? This is not mystical things. This is the word of God that is telling us to be not focused on any of these things and be elevated in awe. I'm so glad because I did something. This is just to be in awe. Why did he choose you? Why did he choose me? Why did he bring us out of that place? You know, let's keep reading a little bit more. What happens is, Satan is bound. Christ and his disciples who didn't take the mark of the beast are reigning with him. But you know verse 7, what happens? Now when the 1,000 years have, in Revelation chapter 20 back, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations. One would stop there and say, how can he even do that? How can he even deceive the nations while Christ was here? I'll tell you the same thing that I told a few times already. Men will still continue to reject because there will be maybe much more population that will be there during this 1,000 years that will be born. No child just automatically enters into the kingdom. They all have to come in here and accept and turn from their sinful ways into God's ways. But devil is now allowed, not because he wanted to and he's got the control. Watch the sovereignty of our Lord Jesus Christ. For a little time, he's allowed to go out and deceive the nations. Exactly the same thing that he continued to do at the Garden of Eden. He continues to do after the thousands of years, because thousands of years that has gone past. We'll go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Now that is not to literally count every sand in the sea. Obviously, this is a hyperbole, they say, which is just an example of too many people are going to be further deceived, even at the end of that glorious, where there is even sin absent completely, but still people will choose to willfully love their sin. And devil, this Satan, when they get released, there is a name given here, Gog and Magog. We do not have the time to go into what all of this means. No matter what it means, Magog is the grandson of Noah. We've heard, we had Japheth's second son was also Magog. No matter what that means, the places that he went, where it is, maybe if it is Russia, what they say, that is not important. What is important is that there are so many people coming back to further wage war. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Remember, we read in 19 where the beast and the false prophet are in the lake of fire. For a little time, the devil who deceived was bound up in chains you cannot imagine. These are not chains made with steel, I would assume. This might have some very, very strong materials that was specifically constructed to bind the deceiver of the old. But God releases it further to give the choice to the people which way they will go. Which way they will go. There will be many who will reject even at that time. But this battle is going to be quick and simple. This is not going to be an elongated battle, because what's going to come? Fire came down from God of heaven and is going to devour those people, and they, where the beast and the false prophet and the devil is now going to go there. And very important, I'm going to finish. What is going to happen to them? They are tormented day and night forever and ever. That's why I said when we started, we have escaped that place forever and ever to be in the presence of the King. The tares of the other parable that we were reading, all that people at the time of the harvest will be cast alongside with that place. Quite significant for us when we think about what has become of us. We are eternal people. We will be in His presence eternally. We have much to thank the Lord for picking us out. We have always that in the front of our mind. Why did He choose us? Brother Johnson, before we took part in the table, reminded us it's not because we did something fancy for God. We could have achieved nothing in front of Him. We did nothing. All our righteousness was nothing but filthy rags. And that is religion. That is what religion teaches. You do something for God, God will give you something. And that's the entire deception of the whole world. That was my deception for a long period of time. That was all of our deception. That is going to be the continual deception till this time comes. And then there is no more war. And there is going to be judgment. I'm not going to read these few verses, but in a few weeks you will
Read this white throne judgment that happens. It's very important. These are things that are blessed to read, to hear, and to apply. These are given for our purposes. So, brothers and sisters, as I close, there is a song that is sang in heaven for the saints. I don't know how many brothers have given worship messages out of this Revelation chapter 5. That song is the song singing to the Lamb that was slain. Revelation chapter 5, read with me. It says, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp with golden bowls full of incense, which were the prayers of the saints." Now read with me this, verse 9 and verse 10. "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you have slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" Let us close with these words. Loving Father, thank you that you have reminded us that there is certainly a devil who is roaring around this whole world, watching whom to be deceived. Lord, we were all deceived, and there are many men and women who continues to be deceived by the deception of the serpent of old. Lord Jesus, but thank you, Lord Jesus, you have reminded us that there is coming a time when the time will finish, and there will be no more time for this serpent of old to deceive children of God and these men and women that you loved. For Lord Jesus, you have reminded us even through this song that you have redeemed us to God by your blood. What a precious feeling that is. What a precious privilege that is. What a precious reign that is, to be made kings and priests to our God and my God, and to be reminded that you will establish your reign in this earth, and then you will have this white throne judgment. And thank you, Lord, for that revelation given to John as well in 21 and 22 that speaks about the new heaven and the new earth that you are going to give to each one of us to be with you. Lord Jesus, many times, Lord, our hearts and our minds are occupied by the gods of this age, Lord, and they come in many forms, and they deceive us from the joy and the glory that you have placed upon every child of yours. Lord Jesus, we pray as we go away and start another week and even finish this year, Lord Jesus, we will continue to cherish what has happened in our lives. We will continue to share, and we will continue to use the opportunity, Lord, to become more like you. Lord Jesus, if there is any flesh that is still remaining in each one of us, and if we are honest, we would know that there is, and there will continue to be. But we pray that that flesh will reduce, that will give more place to our King to rule in our hearts and in our minds, Lord Jesus. So thank you that you did that transaction at the cross. Thank you for offering your precious blood so that we can have this great relationship with you. And thank you for giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that even through that great power we can read that these words that you have spoken are true. You are going to come back into this earth, and you will establish your kingdom, and we will spend an eternity with you. And then we will know what does it mean to be taken out alive out of that eternal destiny that we were going to be. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing that transaction for each one of us. Lord, we ask all of these things in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.